SBS Radio.
My name is Cassie Latham and I'm from Tungurung Wurundjeri and I live on Gunai Kurnai country.
Yeah, you are one of two finalists for the Telstra prestigious awards this year. First of all, congratulations for being one of the finalists. There's only two in Victoria out of how many nationally?
I think there was like 261 applicants, but yeah, only 68 got selected in there. There was only a couple from Victoria and I'm one of them, so
one
very
of the
excited.
Two. You're known for working passionately, for reviving traditional
skills
and knowledge of plants and all that. Tell us about how you work in that area.
Yeah, so I'm a traditional artifact maker and I specialise in bush tucker. So I go out and I forage and I look around in the environment and connect to country and utilise what I find and either process it into foods or I process it into art.
Food and art.
Mm-hmm.
Food, cooking is already a culinary art. It's already an art in itself. But art just for the sake of art with bush tucker. How, explain to us for radio how this looks like.
Well, it looks like
the
this.
Whole process.
It's, yeah. So if I'm along the coast, I'll forage mussels.
Yeah.
Because obviously it is a good source of bush tucker.
Yeah.
And once I finish boiling them up and eating the mussel, I utilise the shells as survival spoons, knives, and also in my artwork, which, there is a couple of mussel shells in the art piece that I made for the Telstra Art Award.
So nothing gets thrown away?
Nothing gets wasted, no. Everything's used, even if I find roadkill on the side of the road, because that is bush tucker too. So roadkill, I take home, I skin, and I utilise that, feeding or processing into traditional pieces for work, for art.
Do you go to the supermarket ever?
Yeah, I do, for ice cream sometimes. I love ice cream.
Those are killer
but
arteries.
but really, I don't need to. I can live a sustainable lifestyle. It's like my ancestors did many years ago, and I kind of, researched in the way of not Googling anything or reading up on anything, but by going out and experiencing it myself, so then I could teach it and pass on knowledge that way, because I thought this is what my people did many years ago. Were, I took myself back in time and experienced what they would have done, and and I had to forage. It was like I kind of left everything behind and went out and just went out into the country and explored and got creative ideas and collected and foraged and worked on pieces and then come back home and, gathered everything together. And I thought, this is how I want to live. This is what I want to do every day of my life. And I do it every day of my life.
So if you come across a plant, how do you know it's edible?
Oh, it's identity. You have to know your plants, obviously.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I've had really great mentors. I've had really good people working with me that have got scientific and botanical experience and knowledge that have worked with me, but mainly it's just about identity, like hearing about a plant and then to go out and explore and to find it out in the wild is what I do best. So I go out and I forage and, I know exactly when it's ripe or not ripe or what, and it's all, it is a little bit of a test at times because sometimes you think, oh, is this the right time that I can eat this?
It's an acquired taste. It could be very bitter
or sour. Yeah, exactly. So, it is about identity, and that's what I teach in my bush tucker cultural education programs, is the identity, the seasons when it comes, because I'm a seasonal forager, so I don't freeze anything. I go out on country at a certain time of year and I document what's available, what's ready to harvest, what's gone into seed. There's other different plants that might take a couple of years to actually come into fruit or season. So I kind of document everything, and because of climate change and everything's obviously changing,
people, some plants will bloom very early or very late.
This year
they've
only
just gone completely wild.
It
as
has
well.
Yeah. I found with the cherry bollard this year that I only got probably about two handfuls of cherry bollard, the native cherry tree, the fruits off those trees, because they just didn't come out in time. it was, yeah, so I knew then that, yeah, something's, yeah, getting a little bit mucked up in our environment.
But does it mean if you forage that you can only survive in one area because the plants that you will survive on and you will know those plants, you know them because of the experience? For instance, if you put me in the Amazon, plants they've got there, I know there's a lot of food around, but some of the plants I come across, I might, just before even touching them, I might think twice.
Yeah.
Because plants, some of them are poisonous, and others, they look wild, but they're yummy.
Yeah.
So it means you're restricted in where you can survive, or you can pretty much go everywhere.
Well, Victoria has a select native edible plants.
Yeah.
And then you go into obviously New South Wales and they're different again. And this is where I love doing cross-culture bush foods, because to go into another state, even Queensland, like to go around country and to explore other people's, you know, native plants, the belonging and connection to those plants, and listening to other elders or bush tucker specialists, you know, Aboriginal people that have got a lot of knowledge of those plants in that area, you know, that's where I pick up my information from, you know. So it's nothing, I never write anything down. I love to listen and I love to see, and then I like to see how they prepare it and process it. And that's what I like to showcase in my education workshop, is that the plant to process, and, you know, where to find it, because obviously you need, you know, you can't go into the state forest and go foraging, you know, I don't want people up there, you know, but to grow, you know, your own native plants at home, and to source them, obviously you've got to go to a native plant nursery. So, you know, to actually buy your plants and bring them home, grow them, and be able to, you know, work with those plants that you've got. And just, I always say to a lot of people, don't go exploring, you know, 40, 50 different native edible plants. Just start off with 10. You know, write a list of what you want to know, what you want to source, and really, like, you know, come into contact with those plants. Like if you're along the coast, you know, look at the pig face. Everyone knows pig face. And Warrigal greens, the salt bush, for instance. You know, it's right there in front of your eyes. But then take some and smell it, and you know, and work out how it will be processed and utilised in food and everyday eating.
No, because some of the bush taka that people might not even know that is edible, these plants pack some of the most potent nutrients, like
definitely.
Kakadu plum has got 50 times more vitamin C than
And the antioxidants is a superfood. Yeah, it is a superfood. But see, we can't grow that here in Victoria. It's very hard to grow. I've tried to grow Kakadu plum and I can't grow it. Davison plum I can grow. So there's a lot of introduced native plants to Victoria, like the lemon myrtle. People think lemon myrtle and aniseed myrtle and the strawberry gum are all from Victoria, and they're not. They're actually from New South Wales and going into Queensland. They've been introduced. So, you know, the seeds, and obviously, you know, we can grow them. But I find, that from hotter environments like the Northern Territory, to bring those foods down and plant them, I have to plant them in pots and then maneuver them around to see where they like, because they're so temperamental. But I've got a lot of bush tucker plants on my property that I've grown, and they're really striving and going really well. So I've got a nice supply.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.